The Producers by Melissa Stewart. Page 2. Three Kinds of Life. A redwood forest is home to many living things. Tall trees stretch towards the sun, while ferns spread over the ground. Animals such as wood rats search for food. When a wood rat finds a redwood cone, it eats the seeds inside. In turn, the wood rat might become food for an owl that swoops down on its prey from high above. When forest plants and animals die, fungi and other life forms in the soil break them down or decompose them. A picture on this page has the caption, "Redwood trees, ferns, and mosses get energy to live and grow directly from the sun's light. They use the sun's energy to make or produce their own food. All the life forms that make their own food can be called producers." Three pictures on page 3. Captions in order. Wood rats and owls get energy to live and grow by eating or consuming other living things. Wood rats eat food from plants. Owls eat rodents and other small animals. All the life forms that eat living food can be called consumers. Caption for the bottom picture. Fungi, such as mushrooms, are different from mosses and other plants. They get energy to live and grow by breaking down dead producers and consumers. All the life forms that break down dead materials can be called decomposers. Page 4, producers. Producers are life forms that make their own food and food for all living things. They can be big, more than 100 meters tall, or smaller than a speck of dust. They can live in hot, dry deserts or in freezing Arctic waters, but nearly all of them make food in the same way. They need just three basic ingredients: sunlight, water, and air. During a process called photosynthesis, a producer changes these basic ingredients into food. Before photosynthesis can happen, a producer needs to collect energy from the sun. In most plants, a leaf does this important job. A leaf looks simple on the outside, but there's a lot going on just below the surface. On the facing page, page 4, there's a picture, and it's in a box, has the title, "How Plants Produce Food," and identified with arrows are carbon dioxide, sunlight, water, and nutrients. And the following text. In plants, water and nutrients are taken in or absorbed through the roots. Carbon dioxide, an invisible gas in the air, enters through tiny holes in the leaves. During photosynthesis, a plant uses sunlight as energy to turn these materials into a sugar called glucose. Glucose is food the plant needs to live and grow. When an animal eats the plant, the glucose inside gives the animal energy too. On the facing page, page 5, a quick fact. Only producers can make glucose. There is no other source of it on Earth. Glucose is less sweet than ordinary table sugar. You can taste it in plants, fruit juices, and honey. And on the bottom of this page, in a boxed section called Inside a Leaf, there are some pictures, 1, 2, and 3. And number 2 is a cross-section of a leaf, and number 3 shows a chloroplast. This text accompanies these three pictures. In most producers, the sunlight that powers photosynthesis is absorbed by a green material called chlorophyll. Chlorophyll gives leaves their green color. In plants, chlorophyll is located inside chloroplast. Every cell in a leaf contains about 50 chloroplasts. A chloroplast is where photosynthesis happens. Page 6. During photosynthesis, plants and other producers make more than just food. They also make oxygen. This invisible gas drifts into the air from small holes under a plant's leaves. When you breathe in, oxygen from producers enters your lungs. When you breathe out, carbon dioxide goes into the air, and producers can use it. Producers make the oxygen that consumers need to breathe, and consumers make the carbon dioxide that producers need for photosynthesis. The picture on this page of a boy and a girl has the following text. Your nose, mouth, and lungs all work together to expel carbon dioxide and take in oxygen. Your blood then delivers the oxygen to cells throughout your body. Without a constant supply of oxygen, human cells could not grow and stay active. On page 7, the top picture has the following text. This looks like a moose. When a consumer exhales, carbon dioxide and water enter the air. Plants use both carbon dioxide and water to live and grow. And on the bottom, a picture of a hare or rabbit, and the title is Photosynthesis and Respiration. The cycle of photosynthesis and respiration maintains Earth's natural balance of carbon dioxide and oxygen. And we learn that consumers release carbon dioxide and water to producers, and consumers take in food and oxygen from producers. Page 8. Consumers need producers. Everywhere on Earth, consumers depend on producers for the food they need to live and grow. Because consumers cannot make their own food, they must eat to live. Some consumers eat plants, but even consumers that eat only animals still depend on the producers. The sun is the main source of energy for life on Earth. Producers get the energy they need directly from sunlight. When a consumer eats a producer, as when an insect eats the leaf of a plant, the consumer gets some of the sun's energy that is stored inside the producer. Suppose a bird eats that bug. The bird gets some of the sun's energy that is stored inside the bug. On page 8, the facing page, we'll go back to read the description, the text that's part of a desert picture. And it reads, the Sonoran Desert, which runs from southwestern United States into northern Mexico, may seem barren, but during the day, desert producers such as cactus plants and Palo Verde trees use energy from the blazing sun to make food. At dawn and dusk, consumers such as jackrabbits, kangaroo rats, coyotes, and lizards come out to search for food. And the pictures on the facing page, page 9, have these captions. Firstly, harvester ants are consumers that spend their days gathering seeds to eat. In the second picture, western banded geckos eat ants. And lastly, roadrunners eat geckos. How many roadrunners could survive if there were no plants in the desert? Page 10. Plants are important producers, but plants are not the only living thing that use the sun's energy to make food. Many producers are found in the ocean. Just as plants do on land, they make their own food using the sun's energy. And a quick fact, 1 liter of ocean water may contain millions of microscopic life forms. And the text for the ocean picture on this page reads, even though the waters off the coast of Alaska are cold all year round, they are teeming with life. And on page 11, three pictures, starting at the top, ocean waters are filled with microscopic producers and consumers called plankton. Phytoplankton, which are producers, make their own food. Consumers, called zooplankton, eat the phytoplankton in order to survive. And the next picture, with an arrow going towards it, in turn, the zooplankton become food for fish, such as this newly hatched coho salmon. And this goes to the next picture. We are following the arrows. Sea lions eat salmon and other fish that depend on plankton. How many sea lions could survive if there were no producers? Page 12, ocean producers. Scientists think that the first producers were tiny cyanobacteria living in the ocean. These bacteria may have been the first living things to carry out photosynthesis and make oxygen. Oxygen is necessary for most life on Earth. Before there were producers to make it, there was not enough oxygen in the air to support animal life. Cyanobacteria and other living things were each made up of one small, simple cell. Every cell that makes up your body is much more complicated than those early cells. For all life to exist today, some of those simple cells had to come together to form more complex cells. The more complex ocean producers that formed are called protists. Like cyanobacteria, protists absorb water and carbon dioxide to make food directly from the ocean. They live near the surface of the water where sunlight energy can reach them. As these ocean producers absorb the sun's rays and make food, they pump oxygen into the air. Going back to the facing page, which was page 12, with a picture, we read, the phytoplankton, called cyanobacteria, still live in the oceans today. Ancient cyanobacteria may have looked something like these modern ones. And the next picture has this text. Protists still live in the oceans today. In fact, algae, seaweed, and kelp are all protists. Ancient protists may have looked something like this green algae, which grows in large clumps called colonies. All along the bottom of these two pages, pages 12 and 13, there's a timeline of life on Earth starting 4 billion years ago and working up to 1.5. At 3.5, we read that cyanobacteria develop, and at 1.5, we read that protists develop. Also on page 13, with a picture, there's the following title, The Mystery of Protists, and this information. Dr. Lynn Margulis and other scientists knew from fossil evidence that protists existed on Earth long ago, but no one could explain how protists developed. Dr. Margulis suggested that the first protists were made of two or more bacteria working together for survival. At first, most scientists disagreed. For 20 years, Dr. Margulis gathered evidence that supported her theory. Now everyone thinks she has solved an important mystery in biology. Page 14, land producers. Very slowly, producers moved onto land where life was different from life in the ocean. For one thing, life on land was dry instead of wet. Protists needed to adapt in order to survive. First, they lived in moist areas on edges of ancient oceans and lakes. Eventually, they developed into simple plants similar to modern mosses. Mosses could not grow tall. In order to grow tall, plants had to be able to move water up their whole length. Ferns and other plants that developed around the same time had two sets of tubes in their stems. One set carried water and minerals from the roots to the leaves. The other set transported glucose, plant food, from the leaves to the rest of the plants. And the picture on this page has the following caption: like early plants, modern mosses must live in moist places. They do not have true roots, stems, or leaves. And on the next page, facing page 15, there is a picture with this information. Like producers, consumers slowly began to live on land. Ancient land producers provided shade during a time when the sun's light shone much more harshly than it does today. During the Carboniferous period, about 350 million years ago, much of the earth was covered with swamps filled with huge trees and large leafy plants. They provided air that consumers could breathe and food that consumers could eat for energy to live and grow. There's an inset picture that has the caption, "Modern horsetails are the relatives of ancient species that were as large as trees." And there is a timeline across these two pages, 14 and 15. In millions of years ago, starting at 500 and going to 300, at 460 million years ago, we read that land plants developed from green algae. At 420 million years ago, moss-like plants appear. At 400, first animals move onto land. At 350 million years, amphibians develop. At 320, reptiles develop. And lastly, at 300 million years ago, ferns develop. Page 16. Early plants still could not live far from wet areas because they used spores carried by water for reproduction. As plants continued to develop on land, they began to reproduce using seeds. Seeds help plants spread because there is a little bit of food stored inside each one to help a new plant get started. Seeds also have a tough surface that allows them to survive until conditions are right for growth. For a long time, there were no flowers on Earth. Today, most plants on land are flowering plants. Many of these producers depend on consumers to reproduce. Flowering plants often attract consumers, such as butterflies and honeybees, with bright colors or strong odors. The consumers, in turn, gather pollen from the flowers and spread it around, which helps plants produce seeds. New plants may grow from these seeds. With the help of consumers, flowering producers have spread all over the world. On this page, with two pictures, we have this information. Yucca plants and yucca moths are completely dependent on each other for survival. The moths eat only yucca fruits and lay their eggs inside yucca plants. The yucca moth is the only consumer that carries the pollen of the yucca plant and helps it reproduce. On the facing page, page 16, there's a picture of a spruce tree and then a spruce seed cone and under it spruce seeds. And the text reads, many of the first seed plants had cones. Spruces are examples of modern cone-bearing plants. Their tough, woody stems give the plant strength, which means they can live and grow very tall and live a long time. And that timeline continues across these two pages. We're in millions of years ago at the 250 mark, and we read that dinosaurs developed at 250. At 225, cone-bearing plants develop. At 220, mammals develop. Then we go all the way to 120 million years ago, flowering plants develop. Next page, page 18, producers today. Today, about 300,000 known life forms make up Earth's producers. From oceans to mountaintops, producers add to the richness, beauty, and diversity of life. Some ancient producers seem to survive unchanged from generation to generation for millions of years. Others have become extinct because they could not adapt to changes in their habitats. Meanwhile, other producers have developed into those we see on Earth today. And the picture on page 18 has the caption, liverworts are closely related to the earliest life forms that moved onto land. And on the next page, page 19, with the first picture, the text reads, you might think plants are now the most important producers, but cyanobacteria and protists still create two-thirds of the oxygen in the air. And the next picture has the caption, in addition to oxygen and glucose, some producers, such as cotton, provide fibers from which we can make clothes. And in between, there is text that reads, each year many species become extinct because of human activity. Like other consumers, humans are completely dependent on producers for survival. In order to continue living and growing, breathing and eating, we must protect our partners in life, the producers. And the two pictures on the bottom of this text have the following captions. The first one on the left, fumes in the air from cars, trucks, and other vehicles can harm the natural habitats of producers. And the picture on the right, chemicals from factories can damage ocean and river waters, which also threatens producers. And that timeline still continues on these pages. We're at 50 million years ago. And that's where butterflies and bees develop. At 25 million years ago, grasslands appear. At 20 million years ago, deer, giraffes, and cattle develop. And lastly, we have today. That's the last word on page 19. The glossary on page 20. Adapt. Change in ways that help an organism survive in a particular habitat. Carbon dioxide, an invisible gas that is made by consumers during respiration and used by producers during photosynthesis. Chlorophyll, a plant material that absorbs energy from the sun. Chloroplast, in plants, the structure inside a cell that contains chlorophyll. Cyanobacteria, simple single-celled bacteria that can carry out photosynthesis. Glucose, the sugar made during photosynthesis. Photosynthesis, the process by which most producers make food using water, nutrients, and energy from sunlight. Phytoplankton, tiny plant-like ocean producers. Producer, a living thing that makes its own food. Protist, a producer made up of several complex cells. Protists often live in water. Respiration, the process of taking in oxygen and releasing carbon dioxide. Zooplankton, tiny marine animals that eat ocean producers.